Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tonight, on this night, again allowed us, given us the ability to do his dhikr, to remember him, and to us, for us, Allah ta'ala has allowed, arranged for us to gather in his home, in the masjid. May Allah ta'ala, with his fadl, his grace and karam and mercy, allow that the prayers we make in this gathering and all the discussion we go through, may Allah ta'ala allow his mercies to rain down upon this and to accept everything in his court. Because all of this is preparation and are treasures for the preparation of the akhirah, for the hereafter. And our destination, the permanent abode, for this abode, we are making all of this effort. The preparation for the hereafter, and regularly, rather more than regularly, there's a style that we adopt for preparation. And this is more than regularly that we carry this out. Very common indeed. And that style or that method that we adopt or we implement is that kathir, rather we can say maximum, we to prepare for the hereafter, we say we're doing the maximum. Now the thing that we look at for the preparation for the hereafter is amal, are the deeds. And we utilize the deeds, or we obviously gather the deeds, collect the deeds, implement the deeds to present inshallah in the hereafter, in the akhir. Now we, as people, we look towards amal, and not just amal, not just the deeds, but we implement the deeds in such a way that when we go to the akhirah, I want millions or masses of deeds that I can show. This is the case, isn't it? I want salah many times. I've prayed salah, and I've done dhikr many times, and sadaqat. I've given a lot of sadaqat many times, and recitation of Quran many times, and hajj many times, and umrah many times. Zahir is zahir. Everyone tries for this. And in faraid, we don't try, do we, to increase the amount. The faraid are there. They are chosen, selected, and in one day you can only pray certain amount of faraid. Fajr, you cannot pray 5 times. Dhuhr salah, you can only pray once in the day. Isn't it? Isha salah, we can only pray once in the day. We cannot increase it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite this, has prepared some other things. Allah ta'ala has given us extra. Allah has given us nawafil salah. You can pray 10,000, 1,000, 5,000. Yes, so this is additional worship. In the same way, zakah. Zakah is the same, isn't it? We can give, obviously, a fixed amount only in terms of fard, which is the fixed amount. But on top of that additional, we can give sadaqah. As much as we desire, we can give. And those who prepare for the hereafter, they give in a beautiful way sadaqah. They pray extra salah, additional salah, extra charity, because they are collecting the amal to present to Allah in the hereafter. In the same way, we have hajj. Hajj is only once in the year, isn't it? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you can come as many times as you want. Nafil hajj, voluntary hajj, thawab, the umrah. And just as soon as a person has a chance, an opportunity, he goes and he increases. This is what we do, isn't it? Okay, I've done one hajj, let's do another one. Extra, though the next year we do another hajj. Allah ta'ala gives money, etc. So a person utilizes. And this is our situation, that we collect the deeds, amass the deeds, and increase the deeds, the quantity, and that's good. That's good. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not said this in the Quran, that this is the condition for success. That is there a machine that Allah ta'ala will utilize to count the deeds in the hereafter? That I cannot remember a verse that's come across my eyes in which Allah ta'ala says, I've got a machine, counting machine, that I will see who has come to me with most deeds, the highest number of deeds. So why do we focus on quantity, on the amount, on the number? But in comparison to this, in contrast to this, we could say, Allah ta'ala has mentioned the more important point, mawazin al-qist. Allah ta'ala says, yawm al-qiyamah, that on the day of judgment, there will be a mizan. Yes, there will be a scale. on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the deeds. Will weigh the deeds and do justice on our deeds. What we realize, they won't be counting. Mawazinuhu. That Allah ta'ala says, I will weigh the deeds. Do you understand? You don't understand what I'm saying? But we're counting the deeds, we're increasing the deeds, amassing the deeds, but they won't be counting in the akhirah. There'll be wazan. Mawazina. Allah ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the yawmul qiyamah, the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish the mizan. It is stated in the hadith, and the mizan will be so vast and big from west to east. And on that one scale, my deeds, me alone, my deeds will be weighed. What will that mean? Is that scale be physically that Allah ta'ala will insert my deeds onto it, and they will be weighed, the deeds weighed. Subhanallah. So here Allah ta'ala didn't say I'm going to count the deeds, and here the Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَا ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ رَضِيَ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ حَوِيَ. The Allah Ta'ala says that the person whose weight will increase, he will enjoy. The person whose weight will increase, he will enjoy the result of his deeds. And the person whose weight is less, what will he do? That hawiya. That he will go towards hawiya, the ditch of hellfire will be thrown towards. So this is what we say, isn't it? That the whole dunya, us, we're all running after amassing deeds, number. Do as many hajj as we can, do as many umrah we can, do as much tilawah we can. Fine, we should do as much as we can. But have we ever focused on the main point, that what I'm amassing, the deeds, it's not going to be counted. What's going to happen? It's going to be weighed. It's going to be weighed. Now here, a question arises that if I put more onto the scale, then the weight will increase, isn't it? We say that, don't we? Okay, let's look at the example here. Let's go into the greengrocers. There are mangoes, yeah? In the greengrocers. Take 5 or 6 small mangoes, put them on the scale. Then go to the other side, there's a big mango, and put it on the scale. Which one will be heavier? The 5 small ones or the big mango? The big mango versus the others. In terms of that volume, within that volume. So the quantity is second. It's the weight. So this question has ended, hasn't it? This question has ended. So asal, the main point that I haven't thought and you haven't thought, is that when we do too much ibadah, in terms of too much quantity, what is the point? Are we wasting our time, our effort? We're not doing anything that's of any value, of any weight? Because Allah says, I will see the weight of your deeds. As Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated in a hadith that in the hereafter, when a person will be presented to Allah and his deeds will be put onto the scale, and he'll have many amal, many deeds, high number, high quantity. And as soon as the deeds will be placed on the scale, his amal, his deeds will be light in the weight. And all of the deeds that were apparently good deeds will be weighed. It will be said that your deeds are light, there's nothing. But there will be so many of them that you cannot see beyond his deeds. Hajj and zakah and sadaqat and nafal, and do as much nafal as you want. Allah Ta'ala says that you can do as much as you want. Yes. So, okay, mister, that's it. Go. Then the call will be said, don't be quick, don't hasten. He has a small deed. Let's weigh that deed. Let's see the impact of that deed. So that one small deed will be brought out. They'll think, what's going to be the impact? When that deed will be placed on the scale, then suddenly the weight of that scale will become so high and the deeds will overweigh everything else. So this deed will allow everything to... So Allah Ta'ala says, I promised you, فَأَمَّا ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَهُوَ فِي شَتِ رَضِيَ. Allah Ta'ala says that take this person. His deeds have given him the benefit. Go and let him enjoy. Subhanallah. So, we don't pay attention to this, that how do I increase the weight of my deeds? What shall I do? Nobody in the world thinks, how can I increase? And until today, that we are going in the loss. We are going in the loss. Now, amal, the weight of the deeds, is very, very necessary. Very, very necessary. The weight. And so that the weight overall increases on the scale. of the deeds. So how do we do this? Yes, we should implement deeds in higher number, but in parallel or more important is that the weight of the deed should be heavy. Shouldn't be hollow and empty like a box, an empty box or hollow container that it looks weighty and inside there's nothing. Should be weighty. It doesn't matter how many deeds we do, but they should have weight, value. But we have a desire to increase the deeds, the quantity, whether they weigh or not, but let's keep on practicing. Let's keep on practicing. Let's keep on. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Is this justice that we are doing with Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala says, mawazinu. The qasd, Allah Ta'ala says, the adal, that my adal, my justice will come with the weight of the deeds. So who can deceive Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala on the day of justice? Will we give deception to Allah with the so many millions of deeds we can stack them high up to the heavens and skies? It will not be of no use. The first thing we need to look is that the deed should have the wazan. The weight. Pray one salah, but it should be good weight, good value in that salah. So that when it's weighed, it takes us beyond success and beyond. Yeah? This is how we should develop our deeds. So, there must be something that we utilize to increase the weight of our deeds. For example, I've prayed salah. I want to increase the weight of my salah. How do I increase the weight of the salah? That my salah, it can improve. I, subhanAllah, I had a shop. And there was a person next door, he had a fish shop, we used to sell fresh fish. And regularly, we used to meet each other, I used to go there, sometimes he'd come, etc. We had an awareness of each other and the business and the friendship and the salam dua and my shop, his shop was nearby. And I used to see him after every 5 or 10 minutes. He used to, like, you know, spray some water onto the fish or apply some sprinkles of water onto the fish regularly. And I used to say, I asked him once, what do you do, friend, that you waste water every few minutes? You keep on spraying or sprinkling the water onto the fish. You see this to people, or people who own, some people who have meat. He said, oh, I don't want to hide anything from you. That this is not freshening the fish. With the water, what happens is that the weight of the fish increases. So when I weigh the fish, its weight is higher. Its mass is higher. The same way the meat people. Sometimes people have meat, they do this. So what does the water do? Obviously it absorbs into the flesh. So when you go to buy it, the fish and its weight on the scale, then obviously you're buying some water as well. Because the weight is increased and then he gets paid more. So subhanAllah, there should it not be the case that our salah, also the weight increases. So let's pray something on there, let's sprinkle something onto our deeds so that the weight of our deeds, our salah, etc. increases. How will this occur? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your ibadat, that do your worship in parallel with my dhikr, and your deeds will become weighty. Because dhikr of Allah increases the weight and the value of the deeds. Remember this, the dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance will increase the weight of our deeds. How? It increases. The weight increases. Dhikr of Allah is a source due to which our ibadat, the weight will increase. The weight of the fard, the compulsory, and the nafal, the voluntary deeds, they will become accepted. In the level of acceptance, they will become accepted. They'll become high level, high grade. The dhikr of Allah is such a great ibadah itself. But on top of that, it increases the weight of all of our other forms of worship, other ibadat. So let's have experience today. That is there anyone who doesn't have fikr, who has fikr, that we don't have to worry about the hereafter, what will happen to us? The verses of the Quran, we don't contemplate them, we don't understand them, we don't consider them as anything. We just go from here, we put our clothes on, we go to the shop, run the shop. And this is what we'll just think, we're going to go to the hereafter and stand, and I prayed, so I did this, and A, B, C, D, F, all these deeds, and I should go to paradise. Rather, all the deeds, amal that we implement, my friends, only then will we realize when Allah Ta'ala accepts them, the deeds. And for the acceptance of the deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the methodology, the approach. We don't make effort on that approach, on that methodology of how to take our deeds to the level of acceptance. We just think, oh, I've done this deed. That's it. Okay, I've implemented this deed. Allah ta'ala asks that, is there weight in your deed so that when your prayer is weighed, it will be accepted? Is it the case? Have we taken this to that level? So what is lacking in the deeds that Allah Ta'ala says the weight doesn't increase? What is it? And what? Why will dhikr increase the weight of the deeds? We have to think about this point now. So this is the technicality now. What's lacking? We wudu, stand, pray salah. So what's lacking in my salah? What's lacking in my salah? So there's one verse of the Quran that I can remember here. And then inshallah, they'll sketch out the map for us clearer so that we understand how to improve. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. Subhanallah. This is Surah Hajj. verse in the Surah Hajj. Allah says in this whole verse, this is just a small bit I've recited. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that, and among mankind or people are those, that man, who worships Allah. He stands on the bank of the river. He stands on the bank, on a narrow sort of marge he's standing. That in a narrow sort of concept and image. He thinks, oh, that's it, I've done ibadah. I'm successful, I'm happy, I've prayed, I've worshipped Allah. And it's stated further that if he then falls into a trial or into a test, Allah Ta'ala says, if a trial befalleth him, if illness comes, distress comes, or if an issue comes, or if problems comes to his life, then suddenly he'll leave salah and ibadah and he turns his face in direction. Allah Ta'ala says, oh, that person, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, that this ibadah will make him wretched in this world and the hereafter. In other words, amongst mankind are those who worship Allah upon a narrow marge, narrow-minded. If good is around them, they are content. But if a trial comes, problems come, they fall away, they fade away, and they lose both the world and the hereafter. That's their loss. Allah says, they look at success in the world, then they do ibadah. There was a wali of Allah, and when he'd give bayah to people, he said, you've come here for what? Tawbah. Bayah. He said, listen, don't think this, that you've come here to me now, you'll get bayah and you'll do dhikr and you'll get success upon success. And what if the roof starts to crack and then the money will fall through the roof and your shop will run beautifully and you'll become wealthy and rich and all of your issues will become better? Rather, it will go in reverse, that whatever you have may also go. So are you prepared for this? Are you prepared for this? May this not be that tomorrow, oh, I got stuck after getting bayah, started to do dhikr, I lost this and that. Think now, I give you a week. This is so pure and sincere path. And Allah Ta'ala says this, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. He stood on the bank. If I prayed salah after praying salah, or I did some other ibadah, or I woke up in the night and did wazifa, or I went did many other actions and worship and go on hajj, and many people go on hajj, I'm going to do this, I want Allah to fulfill this or to accept this, I'm going to do this dua, I'm going to do this action. In other words, this is a side thing. There are rewards. But the objective of a person to get close to Allah, there's nothing wrong with doing dua, asking Allah for things. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's the maqsad when you make this your objective? That I'm doing this ibadah just for this reason. I'm doing bayah just for this reason. So I get prosperity and wealthy and my shop runs and my business runs and the things that are stuck in my life, all the issues that are circled me, they disappear. Then Allah says, if then those issues don't disappear, what then? For example, maybe you've prostrated and the letter that needed to come from an office has come. Oh, subhanAllah, mashallah, Allah's made me successful. Salah is a great action. Then if it goes in the opposite direction, the verdict, oh, cut his electricity and evict him from the house. Look, I prayed salah, I do worship, I do dhikr, and my father prays and my mother prays. And all the complaints we make and we criticize and complain to Allah. So this 90%, when a person has the basis of this understanding for salah and worship, this is incorrect. The first thing, when a student goes for tawbah, repentance, and Allah says, there are people like this. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. Allah Ta'ala says clearly that he stood, مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, stood on the verge, narrow focus, narrow-minded. And he's not stood there to worship Allah. Rather, he's looking that I want these rewards. Allah says, when you worship, don't look at the thawab. We've come here to do dhikr. Don't think, oh, I'm going to get this thawab and that thawab. Whether thawab is there or not, reward is there or not, we have no link with this. Is this not enough reward that we are ourselves in itself going to remember Allah? Our khaliq, our malik. We are naming him. We are remembering him. Can there be a greater thawab than this? Tell me. There's no greater thawab than this. Reward than this, there isn't. And if this is not thawab, then tell me how many people remember Allah. Tell me, is this not thawab in itself? Tell me how many percentage of the ummah remember Allah. There will be less people who remember Allah and more who prevent the remembrance of Allah. Just have a look. Let's have a look around. Analyze survey. Somebody will say this, somebody will say this, somebody will say this. Thousands of complaints, criticism, obstacles against the dhikr of Allah. To stop. Powers to stop the dhikr of Allah. Within every sort of career, within every sort of class, everybody is agreed that no, don't do dhikr. Why? Because shaitan is influencing them. And when a person breaks through the net of shaitan and says, no, I'm going to do dhikr, doesn't matter what comes. I am going to remember Allah. You can say this, stop this, fine. I'm prepared to leave everything. I'm prepared to leave the masala, the questions, but I won't leave the dhikr of Allah. We won't leave the dhikr of Allah. Take the different understandings, etc., interpretations, doesn't matter. Take us out of the masjid, we'll do it on the street. Take us out of the street, we'll do it in the town. If you take us out of the town, we're going to the jungle, but we are going to do the dhikr of Allah. We will not leave the dhikr of Allah. Do you understand? So, if it said that if you do this, you get this much thawab, and do it for this reason, and we're listening to the thawab and the reward, and if you do this dhikr, then this happens, and you get this result. In fact, the next day, Hazrat, I've been phoning since a week. My shop is not succeeding, my business is not flourishing, etc. I'm doing so much dhikr. I'm doing dhikr of Allah, I'm remembering Allah. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. They pray salah like this, they do hajj like this, they go on umrah like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there will be weight. But if we do nafal 1,000 rakah, 1,000 Quran recitation we complete in the day. There are people who make effort, that 15 juz a day or 15 times they read the Quran in the month. There are people who do this. There are people who do many recitations. But what is the objective behind this? What is the reason of doing this recitation or amassing the quantity of deeds? Let's understand this. That how much is a person proud? How much pride is there? And how much does he consider himself? I'm practicing, I'm worshipping. Rather, there should be a difference. The person should be increasing in his appreciation. Should be grateful to Allah. That Allah, you give me this ni'mah, your fadl, your mercy. And he should be sweating and his neck should be bowed and humble. So humble should that person become. So humble that there's no limit to his humbleness. That Allah, you're so grateful to me, your grace, your mercy, that you've given me all this benefit. I'm reading your Quran. I'm praying tahajjud. I'm praying nawafil. And voluntary. So when our ibadat, they create takabbur and pride within us. So is this increasing the weight of our deeds? Tell me. It's not increasing the weight. It's not. And we don't judge this. We don't look at this. We don't think about this. Why have I come here? Why have I gone for Umrah? What's the reason for my journey? Is the niyyah behind this? Ask what is my intention? How much am I traveling for Allah? And how much of my journey is without for the Allah's say, Allah's pleasure? What's my the objective of me going? What will I do there? What will I ask for Allah in tawaf? And what will I receive? What is the objective? What is the meaning of why I'm going? Is this not the case? And it takes a long time for a person to think and prepare mentally. A person who gets up for tahajjud, after tahajjud, first he prays nafil and then he thinks after nafil, Allah, you stood me up here. So what's the link between me and you at this moment in time, Allah? What's our link? I'm stood here for tahajjud, you stood me up, you've allowed me to get up out of my womb bed, and I'm praying tahajjud, you are going to give rewards, Allah, for tahajjud, but that's to one side. I won't go towards the rewards. I am here, Allah, I want to attain the taste of your ibadah, and I'm stood and you are watching me, Allah. I'm asking and you are listening to me, Allah. I'm asking and you are listening. Allah, I want to attain this peace and contentment and happiness and tranquility that I'm asking from you and you're listening to me. Allah, I don't want the rewards physically. I have no desire for these things. Rather, you've given me a beautiful opportunity. Aha, now there will be khalwat. Now come, because we are alone. Allah Ta'ala is saying that I've taken you to that corner, to that place. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, all your thoughts, all of the desires, all the du'as have now gone. Allah says, now come, because there's loneliness, there's isolation. Allah Ta'ala, he says, the servant, Allah, all the desires are there. And Allah Ta'ala says, who is watching? All your family, sleeping people next door, everywhere, everyone's sleeping. Allah says, I'm there watching you. Allah, I'm stood now in front of you. It's not fard. Hey Allah, I'm standing and I'm speaking to you out of my love for you, Allah. Subhanallah, enjoyment. This is called peace. But no, I'm praying tahajjud, I'll get this reward. I pray tahajjud, you tell other people, and you're chaudhry sahab, mashallah, I pray tahajjud, and you tell other people and share this experience with other people. Yeah, nobody's asking, but they know that he's done something today, because the way his face has changed, his demeanor has changed, his practice has changed, he's done ibadah for 4 days, and his style changes. So you realize that he's done something. That something since a week he's been doing. Straight away you realize that he is fasting voluntary fasts. Nafal fast. Because in front of everyone, you know what he does? That you've kept a fast, isn't it? Here, take some dates. Have you kept a fast? So the person himself who fasted, he's saying to others, here, take a date. So he's showing. So more than half the people realize, obviously, he's fasting as well. That if you know it's a nafal fast, a voluntary fast, why do you need to distribute the dates at that time? That other people probably are not fasting, maybe you're not fasting. So conceal it, keep it hidden to yourself, between you and Allah. But no, we don't do this. That the mufti, maybe they consider this a masla, but it's not necessary that you break the fast right at that time in front of everybody else. That doesn't mean that your fast has not been broken. Don't break the fast exact on that time. That the time means that you can eat. Yes, the masla of the iftar means that you can eat now. If you delay by 5 or 10 minutes, what difference does it make? But people may say, oh, it might become makruh and there are masail, but I'm speaking on the basis of humbleness, that to hide the fact that you've done ibadah, so the showing off doesn't come into your ibadah. So if you practice this after the nafl fasta, you don't have to break it straight away if there's people in front of you to show them. But now we'll put our hands into our pocket and then take out the dates and look at them and give to other people, and they'll see. Somebody like me who likes dates will take all of the dates. Okay, fine, you sit down and you drink the water and I'll eat the dates, I'll say. So, anyway, our ibadat, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that we are counting the deeds. I've kept many fasts and I've done many deeds. But Allah ta'ala says in front of me that there's another criterion for acceptance. There's a mizan. On the mizan, we weigh the deeds, not count. So Allah says, straight here we can see that you need the weight. Allah Ta'ala says, the person whose deeds will be heavier, he will be proud and successful on the Day of Judgment. So we realize now that all our ibadat go to which point? They go to the ghayr. They go to the ghayr at that time. The ibadat, worship will be accepted if there's lilayat, the oneness of Allah, acceptance of Allah, focus on Allah. We don't look towards the amount and the quantity. We don't ask people, oh, you know, I did this action, I've done this action, I've done this action. No, Allah Ta'ala says, fine, alhamdulillah, you've practiced. Don't show off to other people. Oh, I've left this sin, oh, I've left that sin. Okay, it's nothing to speak about too much. Do the shukr of Allah. Be grateful to Allah that Allah Ta'ala has allowed you to leave that sin. Be grateful Allah has given you the tawfiq to do a good deed. This is how we should be. Subhanallah. So this is how it should be, this situation. A person should do such an amal, such an action, that within us we shouldn't feel that we've done that action. Yes, the maqam, the level of shukr, being grateful to Allah should increase. That the tawaza, the humbleness, the sincerity, humility should increase. Allah, you are preparing me for the hereafter. You are preparing me for the hereafter. And you should bow with humility. But we get big heads and broad shoulders and we do more amal and we show off more to the people. And we're not becoming straight, we're not becoming humble. So this situation now we need to understand and realize is that our amal, when we have the weight in the deeds due to the sincerity and the humility, that is the reason for the success. So to bring this into our lives, Allah Ta'ala has given us preparation, which is dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. This is what will put weight into our deeds. So dhikr of Allah, for example, I explained wudu, that if Allah Ta'ala says, if you come for this reason, then no, don't come for this reason. Rather, you will get the opposite. But if we do the ibadah of Allah, if we worship Allah. So remember I said to you, the sheikh said to the student that if you've come for this niyyah, you want prosperity in the dunya, then you've come to the wrong place. So if a person goes towards tazkiyah, has a link with the sheikh, makes the connection sobat, that this is the path that will give me ikhlas, sincerity, lillayat, and automatically in the heart, that every deed, the reason for that deed being implemented will be for Allah's pleasure and acceptance. And the person doesn't have happiness that I'm doing deeds upon deeds upon deeds. Rather, he has happiness that Allah's looking at my deeds. Allah's accepting my deeds, appreciating my deeds. And if this becomes the foundation of our practice, then this is good. And this becomes when we do the dhikr of Allah. This develops. That's why the walis of Allah awliya has said it's lazim to do dhikr of Allah. May not be withstood on the day of judgment, on the day of hashr. Hashr will come very soon. It's very soon it will come. Life is very short. Allah says very good. Inna Allah sari'ul hisab. Allah says very quickly, I will account to you for what you did in the world. You will be accounted for. So if Allah is saying very quickly, then tell me what is quickly. Then let's imagine what is quick. That 50, 60, 80 years we will spend in this world and we will leave. And Allah will ask us, that I said in the Quran, Inna Allah sari'ul hisab. And you couldn't see that the time was passing quickly in your life and world. Now look back at your life. You couldn't see that life was quick or short at that time. So now tell me, how long did you stay in the world? And the man will say, Allah, I stayed in the world for a second. Just a moment. Our whole life will be condensed to just to look like one moment, one lamha, one second. The human being will say, Allah, I only stayed in the world for a second. Allah will say, I told you, sari'ul hisab, that very quickly you will come to me for accounting. So brothers, these small pieces of treasures that we discuss in our majalis gatherings, I call them pieces, that we should grab these pieces and hold on to them firm. Yesterday a beautiful point would have come out, you'll remember, because we write it in the diary, don't we? That this point I understood today. Then according to that, a person straight away starts to implement. Okay? Now, these aren't those majalis. This is not a gathering where we come and we just listen and go away. That we should revise, was maybe the point won't come again. It's the sadiqeen who are sincere, who have the fear and the commitment to preparing for the hereafter, that we are going to depart from here. We've spent time in this life and our life is in a very bad situation. What if death comes right now? There are very bad circumstances around me. I have nothing to my name. I have no deeds. For example, everything that we've collected and we're sat upon, the salah and hajj and zakah, when they will be emptied into the sieve. You know, like that we sieve the flour. What happens? The flour goes through and the impurities are staying. The boor and the fluff and the impurities stay in the holes in the mesh. That is what will happen with our deeds. That just the boor, impurities will remain. I have to ask myself that how much time have I spent in the dunya with quality deeds? How much is the contamination and shirk and wrong actions and bad things in our deeds? That with the nafs we have implemented the deeds. Whatever we do, Quran recitation and hajj, etc. At that time when the message will come, straight away we should do tawbah, man and woman, that from today I start a new life. Allah Ta'ala will say that reverse everything of this person and accept his deeds from now on, because he is doing dhikr of Allah, he is remembering me, and from today our salah will be so good that we're doing dhikr, that I will try today that I do tawbah and pray the salah with ikhlas, and I should consider then, we should consider the whole life long, if we continue like that, there will be ikhlas and sincerity in our deeds. That's the reason for this majlis. That's what we heard from the gatherings of the walis of Allah. Listen carefully and straight away implementing that deed. Yeah? The shaykh ain't going to come again to explain or to watch. No. So do we understand, everyone? Ikhlas is necessary. Is the scale, the wazan, the weight is necessary. So when we start to count the deeds, I did this many umrah, this many hajj, this many fasts, then stop for a moment. Stop. And say, okay, stop. Sabr. Patience. Look at the value. Look at the weight of the deeds. No, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, etc. How much weight is there in that deed? Sit down. So this is the straightforward point here, that we should start to cure our situation. Make a niyyah that Allah, I am a waste in your court. Allah will say, no, you're not a waste. Okay, maybe until today, yes, maybe there wasn't quality in your deeds because shaitan. He'll say, no, don't say that. You're a very good person. He'll say, you did this sadaqah, you gave charity, or you made a house for this person, or you gave with your own hands the sadaqah to this person. But just say, no, I don't have anything. It's all nonsense. It was all contaminated because I didn't know this masla before. This point that it will be weighed, the deeds will be weighed and not counting. We just kept on listening, weighed, counting, but it won't be the case. It will be weighed. This is the mizan. And what's the hal of the mizan? Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. This is the final hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. They initiated Sahih al-Bukhari with dhikr and it started with that everybody will be judged according to the intentions. And Bukhari, such a great kitab, the greatest status of the book after the Quran. So, started with tazkiyah, Sahih al-Bukhari, and ended with tazkiyah. This is Sahih al-Bukhari, and Imam Bukhari, Ramdhul, explained that the whole of Bukhari, to understand it, what do we need? We need purity, cleanliness. Then you can understand my hadith, the hadith atah, included or collected in the collection of Sahih al-Bukhari. And if we don't touch Sahih al-Bukhari with sincerity, then there will be debates and splits and sects and murder. He'll say, I am right. He'll say, he's innovator. He's this and neither. And nobody will understand the hadith. But the person who does tazkiyah, purification, and reads the hadith, ask those people, that what did you understand from Sahih al-Bukhari? There are people like this who passed away in this world. Allah Ta'ala says, the actions are judged according to intentions, and the final hadith is also the lesson. Kalimatan. That there are two kalima that are beloved to Allah. Who are they beloved to Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those kalimat? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Is there any way to? What does Allah ta'ala say? Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Allah ta'ala says that there are two du'as, the very light on the tongue. Subhanallah, say this. Allah ta'ala says they are light. That did it take long time to say this? Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Did it take long time? Was there a lot of weight? Oh, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I remember we're counting this many nafil, this many hajj, and money and ticket and travel. You have to make effort. But does it take any effort? Here, there's zero effort. Allah says that all of the effort you made in traveling and money, and there's zero weight in your deeds. But here, when you recite these two kalamat, how much weight is there? Allah says, when your this kalama, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-adhim, is weighed, Allahu Akbar, your whole scale of the deed will be so weighty from west to east, the whole scale will be full with the deeds. And once Rasulullah Salman sat with his companion, he said, oh my companions, what beautiful discussion there. He said, my companions, from you, who is there? That this is Uhud, because they used to love the Mount of Uhud. The here, look, Uhud is in front of us. And whoever loves me, whoever loves, I love Uhud and Uhud loves me. And can it be that this was a rock? It was a mountain. How can this love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tell me. Something to think about, isn't it? Subhanallah. But he was rahmatul lil alamin. He was mercy for everybody. And even the rocks recognized him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the trees, and everybody recognized him. And he had a great status, great rank. He didn't come for debates. He didn't have this standard that we need to debate or do this. He is present. He's how there and now there. He listens. He's here. He's not there. He comes. Astaghfirullah. Did you ever see any companion debating on this? I don't know this, but I'm asking you. No. But today, our situation in our Mu'ashara society, this is what we debate. Hadir, nadir, he's ghaib, he's this and that. In other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came for what reason? He came for a reason. Subhanallah, he was light. He was the light for people to be guided. And if we say, oh no, there's no light here, or there's no fuel here, there's no oil here, oh it was light, it was lit, oh it was showing the nur and the light. No. The Rasulullah ﷺ came as the chirag, as the light, as the source of radiance, that come and sit and come to my company and look at my light. I will show you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nearness. I will take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qulu la ilaha illallah. Oh foolish people, you are wandering around in the darkness. Where are you prostrating, complaining? Come towards my light. I'm chiragun manir, sirajun manir. I come on the earth. I will show you how to get near to Allah. And those who believed in him, accepted him, subhanallah, Siddiqi Akbar radiyallahu, that he got the nearness to Allah. And how did he see Allah? Then when he was told that your friend, that he went, he's gone, he's lost himself, he says weird things. He said, I went in the night to the heavens and I came back at the same time. I saw Jannah, paradise, hellfire, met Allah. And after that I prayed salah, I led the prophets in prayer. When I came back, my mattress was warm and the door was still shaking and the door handle was still shaking. He said, who said this? He said, your friend. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq asked, he said, if you're saying this, then I accept greater things than that from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you crazy? You think I'm not going to accept this? Believe this. Straight away he got the title As-Siddiq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the companions were sat, the friends, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my friends, tell me, my companions, that tell me that Uhud, the mountains here in front of us, that can you get the reward in the height of Uhud, that they stack up to the heights of Uhud? They said, oh Prophet of Allah, we don't have the power that we can do so much ibadah, because they were simple and humble. They weren't people like this, and you know, who prayed tahajjud and start making a fuss and showing off. They had tawaz and humbleness and humility. They said, we can't do this, we don't have deeds, ya Rasulullah. How will we do this? How? Rasulullah said, you can't do this. They said, no. And Rasulullah said, if I tell you how to do so many deeds, they are stuck up as high as what? Rasulullah said, say subhanallah. They said, subhanallah. Rasulullah said, this is more than Uhud. Say alhamdulillah. This is also greater in the height than Uhud. Say Allahu Akbar, and this is greater than that also. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. When we recite this and it's placed on the scale, what did Rasulullah say about this? That the dhikr of Allah is a great deed indeed, a great deed. Imagine this. So look towards the weight. That's why it's stated that in the akhirah, the person who will be successful, they'll have a great style, that those people who do the dhikr of Allah, that all their lives they will have done this. All that is Allah, 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 Allah. That this is our game, isn't it? What else? What else? So how much the weight is increasing, tell me. Ikhlas. Ikhlas. And dhikr of Allah is such an action, that the person when he does the dhikr of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala has put a separate account for him. Separate, when a person does dhikr of Allah. That he is he doing dhikr sincerely or with riyah? Allah says, totally accepted, let him do it. That's it. So do we know if salah is accepted with riyah? That put the complaint on. That look, he's doing dhikr, he's showing off, he's saying it loudly. Allah says, I like this. That he's remembering me, even if it's with riyah. Even if he's showing off. Allah says, accepted. You do dhikr with whichever style, mannerism, showing, not showing, conceal, etc. He's doing dhikr. That's it. Allah says, I accept. Because he's remembering me, taking out time additional to remember me. Subhanallah. The beauty and the acceptance of subhanallah. So what about the beauty of saying Allah? Subhanallah. Remembering Allah continuously. So is this something that we should be fussy on? Or should we submit ourselves? That these ni'mas of Allah, this maqam in the akhirah, that will be given. Look where we are. Where are we? Tell me this. What are we? What status we have? And I become fussy and arrogant. And subhanallah, this is the dhikr that will make me get up for tahajjud. Dhikr will give me Quran. Dhikr will make me do nafal ibadah. And dhikr, the love of dhikr, will allow me to come to more majalis and travel. The dhikr of Allah makes all of the deeds accepted. Look at this, a massive point, great point here. So will we leave dhikr now? Will we all come in the morning? Imagine this. Imagine this. So the person who leaves dhikr, he's lost out big time. Allah says, khasirul dunya wal akhirah. He has lost out. He's not doing my ibadah. Because he's putting conditions down. That person who is not doing dhikr, he's not doing my ibadah, Allah Ta'ala says. He's not doing my brother. Khasirud dunya wal akhirah. That he has no precondition. But the person who does dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah without any precondition, he wants to improve himself. He is clashing with shaitan, fighting with shaitan. He wants to improve the weight of his deeds. Allah says, this person will win on the day of judgment. Not shaitan. No shaitan. Allah Ta'ala says that he's my favorite servant, this person. Allah says that he will win. And let's say, for example, I have a friend of mine and there's shaitan or an enemy who wants to fight my friend. What will I do? I'll want to assist my friend that he wins. I'll say, no, raise your hands that you're my friend. And I'll help you so you can win over this enemy. So Allah says that this person is fighting shaitan. He's fighting the devil. And he's fighting, he's making effort. Allah says, eventually I'll put his hand up that he has won because he's my friend. And shaitan is not my friend, is he? He's against me. So keep on fighting. Don't worry, raya is there, showing off, whatever's happening. Keep on doing dhikr, don't leave the dhikr of Allah. This is our playing field, that we, alhamdulillah, focus towards the hereafter, have ikhlas and sincerity, so that Allah accepts our deeds. So this is a small thought that came to me while I was here during the day, and I presented it to you. It's good, isn't it? Beneficial, do you like it? Do you like what you heard? Yeah? So let's do amal on this from today. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Let's look into our deeds and see that, you know, people, they praise as much as they want. Oh, look, he's pious. He's a friend of Allah. He does ibadah. Look at him. He prays so much. He prays salah. He reads so much Quran. And he's close to Allah. He's a wali. People say this from behind you. Consider there's a shaitan who's blowing onto me, who is trying to make me big-headed and haughty. So when you hear this, and he says, oh, he's doing work of the deen, he does this all day long, he's changed, he's better, he was this before. When you hear this sort of dialogue, then alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful opportunity at that time to be humble. So you should say, now I realize how much ikhlas do I have. That am I feeling happiness when people praise me, or I don't understand, I don't want to hear the praise. If you're happy when you hear the praise, then consider that still there is a clash there. Still you need to make effort on your heart, there's pride, and you're doing the deeds for showing off, and you enjoy that people are praising you. This is what you want, isn't it? So do you feel enjoyment when people praise you? Speak honestly, speak truthfully, is it? So you should say, no, I'm still not better inside pure. This is the situation. I've realized that the nafal fast I'm doing, or the nafal actions, I'm trying to conceal them, but now that person's found out, yeah, it's good they found out, they're praising me. Are you fasting today? Or don't tell anyone today I'm fasting. We tell them ourselves. Allahu Akbar. So when a person has enjoyment in communicating, then consider it's a waste, and you are like an empty box, a hollow box. Straight away immediately, ask Allah Ta'ala, and then start tussling with the shaitan again. Clashing with the shaitan again. No, I've got to finish off this pride and haughtiness and showing off to people. And the solution to this is take hold of the dhikr of Allah. That these points, my brothers, my friends, are very important points. That dhikr of Allah will take our deeds to acceptance, ikhlas. We say, oh, ikhlas, will it come by doing 10 tasbihs? We should be ashamed, isn't it? The person, he wants to wrestle and become a wrestler. And he said, do this. Just to have the leg of the chicken and you'll become strong. Ask that person who does exercise. He needs to have 4 or 5, 6 full roasted chickens and the gravy. So that I've just done weightlifting. Is this for me? Isn't it? And the sauce from the meat. I need more food. And this is the same point. I need food and energy, he says, to become strong. So our thoughts, we want to get close to Allah. We want paradise and nearness to Allah. And hashar, we will fly out of the day of judgment with success. And all the deeds of our deeds will be waiting. We don't want to do 5 tasbih. And we complain. Sometimes we come to dhikr. Sometimes we leave. Sometimes we come at the end of the gathering during maraqabah. Such a big ni'mah to be sat with the sheikhs morning and evening. Don't ask about the number. If you want to know about the fares and the blessings, the greatness of being in the company of the sheikh, then ask the person who's done this. Ask me to take one moment in the company of my sheikh, of Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, how I used to travel and go. And he wasn't here. My sheikh wasn't in this country. It was a very long journey. Very lengthy journey. In one village was my sheikh. And that was near to DG Khan in the remote areas of Pakistan. Get to DG Khan was hard. It was difficult. I used to go by plane after plane, train. Then after the train, bus after the bus. Sometimes going in the boat across the river. Then the train again. Then the car. Then walk. Then get to Hazrat. When I saw Hazrat's blessed face, my life would be full of nur. And Hazrat, we used to meet like this with shake the hands. Have you come? Yes, I've come. But he said, you just left recently. You come again. I said, I didn't feel like staying away too long. For one sohbat, for one moment of his company. And this is the reality. I'm enjoying now the company that I had of my sheikh. And there are many other people, mashallah, used to come and go. And this is one assistance of how to pass the life. That the time I spent with my sheikh, alhamdulillah, it was an ajeeb sohbat. Great sohbat. So, if somebody does this, so you don't ask for walayat, and we're not walis of Allah, none of us are anything. I am a box, we are all a box. But Allah Ta'ala has given us an environment, you have made an intention that this is a wali of Allah. And so if you consider somebody as a friend of Allah, then you don't even sit with that person in dhikr, then we should put the slivers on our head. We should hit the slippers on our head. What's the benefit? If I realize that there's a wali of Allah here and this town or city, then the most unfortunate person and fussy person is me who loses out, that I don't go to him and have his company. I don't sit in his majlis. Then the biggest hypocrite is that person. Tell me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran and Hadith that this is the path to reach to the wali of Allah. This is our ni'mah through which you can come to me, get near to me. Has the Quran not told us this? Hasn't it? And then our heart is yaqeen, whether people do this or not. But my heart is yaqeen that this is the friend of Allah. It's apparent, obvious, that my heart believes that. If your heart doesn't believe, if the heart believes that this is the friend of Allah, then it's a foolish person who doesn't go to his company. He sat and you're not doing dhikr with him. That he is such a great door of rahmah, of mercy, that we cannot even imagine. We cannot imagine. And the person who runs away from him, who goes away from him, who goes distant from him, that he cannot go far or leave the company of his shaykh, even if he's got difficulties. He says, I said that as long as I'm alive, as long as Hazrat is alive and I'm alive, and subhanAllah, I made this my objective, I did dua to Allah, that I will, Hazrat, that as long as Hazrat's alive, as long as he's breathing, that I will not give preference to any other action apart from Hazrat's sohbat, Hazrat's company. And nobody taught me this. Nobody taught me this fact. Nobody taught me this. That's it. It was Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, Allah's mercy. So you, mashallah, you're told so much, you're taught and explained, and such a preparation Allah Ta'ala has made, and that we even say that he's a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah. We say this, don't we? That he's a wali of Allah. Don't we say this? Has this come in your heart? Is this solid, strong? Then we're foolish that if we do not do dhikr. That either we say that he's not a wali of Allah, or not a teacher, not the shaykh, or then there's hypocrisy, that from far you say shaykh and in your heart you don't accept, then you should leave that path. Then go to that person who you're happy with. But if your heart accepts your heart that this is a friend of Allah, he is pious, or this person's good, then you should have the company of that person. So what's stopping you? That this is the path, the travel for the hereafter, the journey to the hereafter. And if your heart doesn't feel that, then leave and go to the other person's company. He is the wali of Allah, I want to sit with that person. That's called sohbat and company. But this, that the heart, it accepts. Your heart accepts, and on top of that you don't have the sohbat, the company, then this is where you're committing an excess. And then if your heart doesn't feel and you come, then that's hypocrisy. So this is a unique point, isn't it? Yes. So both you should be clean and pure. Both should be parallel. Yes, compatibility. The Quran and the Hadith teach us this. And the Quran and ilm and Kaaba and Medina. Subhanallah. That is our understanding. You can put a fatwa, but this is the reality. That everything you get from this, due to the fadl of Allah, due to the fadl of Allah, everything comes from this. Everything from the sohbat of the shaykh, of the teacher. There was a wali of Allah, and Rasulullah, rahmatullahi, his name, his quality was from Hindustan, India, and great shaykh from our Qabrin, pious predecessors. And what was his sift, what was his quality? That subhanAllah, so much fadl of Allah, that the people used to go to him and become his murid, and they were humble and sincere. They say, Hazrat, that please allow us to do ziyarah. He said, don't tell anyone, close your eyes and do maraqbah. And they used to do maraqbah, and he used to take them to the darbar, to the roda. Subhanallah. That this was his name, that Medina is there, Makkah is there. Everything that a person attains is from the company of the shaykh. But you need to have niyyah. You need to have the true niyyah, sincere niyyah. That I need to correct my life, improve my life, and this is my shaykh, and I'm his murid. And shaykh or murid, then you see the relationship, and the student will attain everything. Life is short, my friends. These are pieces, I'm telling you, pieces. And if we do amal on these pieces, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala says, a person who doesn't, khasiru dunya fil wal akhirah. Allah says, then you lose. But the person who practices these advices, falah, falah, falah. Success in the world and thereafter. May Allah Ta'ala give us strength in the heart, in iman and yaqeen. So that we can increase and increase and go towards our destination. Ameen wa akhru dawana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.